We are taking time for Holy Week and looking at the events that happened during that week and the people that are part of that week. Last week, we saw Judas at the table with Jesus. And today, as they are leaving the table and heading into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus speaks to them again. We will be reading from Matthew 26. I'll start at verse 31. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. And then Jesus and the disciples went into the garden. He asked his disciples to keep watch with him while he prayed. And then Judas came and betrayed Jesus with a kiss. The soldiers arrested Jesus and the disciples fled. But Peter follows at a distance, right to the courtyard of the high priest, where they begin their interrogation of Jesus. So now at verse 69. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again, with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, Peter, our hearts break with you as you weep bitterly. However did this happen? Peter is one of the disciples in Jesus' inner circle. The story of Peter denying Jesus is in each of the four Gospels with minor variation, and each Gospel tells us that Peter denied Jesus three times, and the rooster's crowing broke him. What happened to Peter? Peter, the tempestuous fisherman called to follow Jesus, the one with enough faith to step out of a boat, the one who confessed Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and then heard that he would be the rock on which Christ would build his church. Peter, who witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus and who sat with him at the Passover meal. Peter, the disciple who said he would never fall away, that he would die with Jesus. All of that occurred before that chaotic scene in the garden when Jesus was arrested. And now Peter could possibly be at his weakest point. In the garden, he had fallen asleep, so he wasn't even fortified by prayer. And Jesus had been taken to the high priest and was being questioned. If Peter was truly concerned about saving his own skin, he could have run away. Yet, shaken and frightened as Peter was, he trailed behind, and he slipped into the courtyard near where Jesus was being accused by false witnesses. A servant girl came up to him. "Weren't you with Jesus?" Shaken by her question, he blusters, "I haven't a clue what you're talking about." And then, with the second question, his denial is punctuated by an oath. And then, "I don't know the man." Jesus had warned against these kinds of oaths. Often they're an attempt to hide dishonesty. Peter is seeking deeper as he denies his allegiance to Jesus. And then, when a third person accuses Peter, "Surely you're one of them who followed Jesus," Peter calls down curses on himself and swore. We don't know those words, but this is similar to us saying, "I swear on the Bible." It's intended to kind of legally affirm your innocence if no calamity follows. And yet it's a tactic commonly used by liars. Even so, Peter swore, "I don't know the man." At almost the same moment, a rooster crowed. The rooster's crow reminds Peter of Jesus' words, and he knows immediately that he has failed his Lord. Filled with remorse, he left the courtyard and went outside and wept bitterly. How did this happen? Maybe it was a lack of understanding. Peter had not yet fully comprehended who Jesus is. Who is it that Peter calls Lord? Jesus is the one who came into town meek and riding on a donkey. Jesus is the one who turned the tables on all their expectations and power structures and defective systems. Jesus is the one who proclaimed woe against the hypocrisy of the religious leaders and called them to righteousness. Jesus is the one who dined with his friends and offered his body, his blood. Peter and the others had been watching and learning and following Jesus for 3 years now. And Peter is the one who just days earlier had told Jesus that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But now that Jesus has been arrested, it seems that all their dreams are dashed. A nightmare has begun. They did not understand that Jesus actually came to die, to bear the sins of a lost and hopeless world. And if he heard it when Jesus said it, Peter surely didn't understand what Jesus meant. "After I have risen." And now, while the prophetic power of Jesus, the Son of Man, is being questioned in the courtroom, outside in the courtyard, the prophecy of just a few hours ago is fulfilled when the rooster crows. Perhaps Peter did not understand yet his full calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Though he had confessed Jesus as Lord and he longed to remain loyal, yet he has been notoriously inconsistent as he follows Jesus to Jerusalem. He could not really understand what Jesus meant when he said that all who follow him must take up their cross. He did not yet know what it meant to belong to Jesus in life and in death. Peter, the bold, the brave, the brash, has lost his courage, lost his way, has sunk again under the waves of doubt and despair. Maybe what happened to Peter was simply human frailty and fear. Peter's not so different from any one of us, is he? When it's dark and dangerous and there's treachery all around, we want to protect our own skin, our own reputation. And sometimes that means we deny or betray someone we love. Sometimes it even means we deny the Lord we have put our faith in. This is what happened to Peter. For whatever reason, for all the reasons, he denied even knowing Jesus 3 times. And when the cock crowed, the sound was like a dagger to his soul, a mirror held to his face, a sign that called him back to himself, that reminded him who he is and who Jesus is, and made him burst into tears of remorse and repentance. You might note that the story of Peter's denial is ominously juxtaposed with Judas's betrayal and suicide. When Judas realized the magnitude of what he had done, he tried to return the 30 pieces of silver, and then he went out and hanged himself. When Peter heard the rooster's crow and recognized what he had done, he went out weeping bitterly. Despite his desire to remain loyal, he had failed miserably, and he was deeply grieved. Peter faced his guilt and repented of his behavior. Weeping is the first sign of his repentance. Transformation begins in the tears. Peter stuck around, and he stayed with the disciples through the long weekend of sorrow after Jesus' crucifixion. And Peter was with the disciples on Easter morning when the women came running from the empty tomb with the news that Jesus was alive again. And though we don't see Peter's name again after this in Matthew's gospel, in the book of Mark, the angel at the tomb told the women, "Go tell his disciples and Peter." Then we get that beautiful story in John 21. When Jesus talked with Peter on the beach, and Jesus asked 3 times, "Do you love me?" And 3 times Peter responded, "You know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." God holds on to those he loves, those who receive the covenant of grace. And the rooster acted as the voice of one calling him to repentance, to turn back to Jesus. And Peter's tears were like a baptism of repentance, preparing him to return, giving him the opportunity to receive once again the grace of forgiveness and the call to serve his Lord. And Peter will discover the power that will strengthen him to live as Jesus' disciple. When the Holy Spirit is poured out on him at Pentecost, Peter is filled with boldness to preach and heal, filled with the courage to stand up under persecution and the conviction to proclaim the good news to the whole world. It helps us to know the whole story of what will become of Peter, because we can so easily relate to what happened to Peter during Holy Week. We need to know that's not the end of the story. Yet we do want to take time to dwell a little longer on that moment of Peter's denial and reflect on how it might apply to us. Many of us are committed to this Jesus who died and rose again, and we try to follow him. Others of us might still be searching ourselves and wondering how God is at work in the mess within us and around us in the world. And many of us have a hard time identifying with Christians, especially now. Jesus Christ is not the first person we speak about with friends and colleagues. Let's be honest, we may not ever get around to talking about Jesus. Nor do we always want to be identified with the church. You may have noticed that The third questioner asked Peter whether he is one of them, the whole body, the group who had been with Jesus. Almost like he's asking whether he's one of those people who are part of the church. And maybe that third denial strikes closest to home for us because the church is in such turmoil these days. It's almost like the body is on trial. Are you one of those who believe the Bible? Are you one of those who follow Jesus? Does your accent give you away, or do you try to hide it? Yet, friends, at some point, we who seek to follow Jesus do need to claim that he is our Lord and Savior, even wear the name Christian. For those who believe in Jesus and follow the one who came because of God's love and who shows us how to love our neighbor. When someone asks us who we are, do we dare to claim Christ? I think that most of us, wherever we might find ourselves on our faith journey, are trying to figure out what it means to be faithful. Faithful to ourselves, faithful to our families, our neighbors, faithful to God. As we heard last week and again today, sometimes we betray someone we love. We distance ourselves. We disassociate from those who seem to threaten our own self-image or reputation. And sometimes we are floundering and fragile and fearful. So we find ourselves in situations where we hesitate or flat out deny that we know Jesus. Are we like Peter? I'll confess a personal illustration. One day I met a woman on a trail in Ludington State Park, and we chatted for a bit about the gorgeous fall scenery. And then a few days later, I ran into her again at McDonald's, and we chatted again for a bit. To my surprise, the next Sunday, she showed up at Lakeside Church. And she said, "Shame on you and shame on me." Now, however you might feel about that word shame, her point was that in our conversations, it never came up that I was a pastor or that she was looking for a church. Our neglect in even raising this could well be called a denial of our relationship with God and his church. Now, denial comes in all kinds of forms. This is the moment for those papers in the pews. Today, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, I invite you to take time to think about your relationship with Jesus and reflect on those times when you might have denied Jesus or the church, and write it down. We are about to sing the hymn, "Ah, Holy Jesus," which reminds us that we also participate in the crucifixion of Jesus in the moments when we betray Jesus, as Judas did, or when we deny Jesus, as Peter did. We are going to sing the first two verses, and then we'll pause in our singing to reflect on those ways you have denied Jesus. Maybe a certain event comes to mind, or someone from whom you've hidden your belief in Jesus, or a particular place. We'll provide a couple minutes for that reflection and that writing. And then we'll finish singing the hymn. There is a pot at the foot of the cross here, and pots by small crosses at the back exits. And at the end of the service, you may toss your written denial into one of those pots, and I'll burn them this afternoon. Just as the sacrifice of Jesus wiped away the guilt of Peter, they will be destroyed. And by God's grace, new opportunities will come.